Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired, and we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Word of God tonight, and I'd like to tell you that Bishop Spears is here to see you, but he's here to celebrate my birthday tomorrow. But he thought he'd go ahead and get two for the price of one and get a whole lot of Jesus, and then we'll have a whole lot of cake tomorrow, I am sure. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, a brand new series. And one smaller, shorter verse for our reading tonight. And I appreciate you standing. We're going to preach about why we stand when we read the word a little tonight in just a moment. Jesus looked at them and said with man, first of all, the them was the disciples. It was the people that should know better. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things. What does all mean? All. What does all mean? All. It means everything. It means everything that you have, everything that you will face, everything that you are going. God said, I can do it all. I can do the impossible. You say, what does that verse have to do with that title? Well, number one, there is no scripture in the Word of God that says God can't. It says, I can do all things through Christ. That's what Paul wrote. But he said, nothing is impossible with God. Turn to your neighbor and tell him God can do it all. Turn to your second choice neighbor and tell him he's going to do it tonight. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Let's deal with the elephant in the room concerning the title. God can't fill in the blank. Eight things that God can't do. I'm sure you know where some of this is headed, but this is a series for the next three Wednesday nights that is going to talk about the divine character of God. Who God is. Come on, church. Who God really is. Not who Fox News tells us he is. Who God really is, not who the Catholic Church or some denomination tells us he is. We're going to talk about who God really is. The dumbing down of America and in the Western world has not skipped over the church. The church has been dumbed down. We say phrases like, Jesus is my homeboy. And we casually bring Jesus off the throne and we put him next to us. Jesus can be your homeboy, but never forget that Jesus is first your Savior. Your homeboy might bleed for you, but his blood can't do anything. The blood of Jesus still has power. The blood of Jesus still covers. It still saves. That's why you don't plead your homie's blood. You plead Jesus' blood. He is not the keeper of the stars. He is not the man upstairs. They have done a great job of making Jesus very human. The only time that Jesus was human was 2,000 years ago when he wrapped himself in humanity and he came to earth, all God, all man at the same time. But can I tell you, when he received his perfect body in resurrection and ascended to heaven, he has not been human 1 second further. He is all God even today. And so if I could encourage you, get your mind on a God that is bigger than you and I could ever imagine. Can I get your faith on a God that is greater than you and I even give him credit for? When I think about the Lord and all he's done for me, when I think about where he's brought me from, I praise him. You praise him. We worship him. But can I tell you, I agree with the writer. If I had 10,000 tongues, it still would not be enough. Why? Because God is greater than we give him credit for. A few months ago, I preached a sermon series called Rethrone, Kinging Jesus, yet again, putting him back on the throne that he has occupied or should occupy since 2,000 years ago when he raised up in resurrection. Can I encourage you that over the next 3 weeks, I am going to remind us how great our God is. I'm going to remind us of 8 truths that are still true about Jesus today. Truths that will get you through dark nights. Truths that will get you through some deep valleys. Truths that will get you through when the world is shaking and the world is quaking. So I'm sure some of you are saying, in reading God can't fill in the blank, I'm sure that some of you are saying, but my God can do anything. Yes, God can do anything, but he won't. Because God operates in the parameters set in his word. And the reason he operates in the parameters set in his word, check this out, because he is the word. Say, explain that. Can God lie? Of course he can lie. He can do whatever he wants to do, but he won't lie. Why won't he lie? Because John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth. So if he were to lie, he is no longer the truth. If he is no longer the truth, he is no longer God. God would never take his crown off to become like you and I again. He did that once because we needed a perfect sacrifice. But I am here to tell you that there are some things that God can do, but he won't do. Why? Because of the word that set his boundaries and parameters, but also because he is the word. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, Jesus is the word. Turn to your second choice neighbor and tell him, Jesus is the word. When you receive this revelation, it will change your life. When you receive the revelation that Jesus is the word. For those of you that are taking part in our 88-day challenge from our Heart and Soul Night all the way through December 31st, we are 10 chapters into the book of Acts. It has blessed me. It has inspired me. It has challenged me. It has rebuked me. It has fixed my focus back on one thing, and that is Jesus. It has put my focus back on the one reason the church was raised up, which is souls, to win people to Jesus, to have them filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues, to have them follow Jesus into the waters of baptism. But check this out. When you understand that Jesus is the word, it will change everything. As believers, there's a lot of things that we can or could do, but because we live a life, or we should as believers, founded on the word of God, we operate within the parameters set in his word. So there's some things we can't do. Come on, church. There's some things we don't do anymore. Why? Because I've been introduced to the word. I had an experience with Jesus. And because I have Jesus now as the captain of my boat and the director of my life, this is what we have to get past the point saying, can I do this and still go to heaven? Can I do this and still make? It should never be can I. It should be should I. Is that going to lead me closer to Jesus? Is that going to bring the people following me closer to Jesus? Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 10. He said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. Said, all things are lawful, but they're not beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but all things do not edify. They're not constructive. Constructive to what? Constructive to your future that Jesus Christ died to give you. So when we understand that Jesus is the word, and here's the difference between us and God. We read the word. Jesus is the word. Oh, that's a good place to say amen. We memorize the word. Jesus is the word. We meditate on the word. Jesus is the word. We declare the word. Jesus is the word. We stand on the word. Jesus is the word. We read the word. Jesus is. We build foundations on the word. Jesus is the word. This should excite you. Jesus is the word. John 1:1. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. It's the reason we stand up still at Living Way Church. When we go to the word of God, and it doesn't matter if it's Bishop, it doesn't matter if it's Pastor Becky, Pastor Manny, myself, or someone visiting. When they read the word, whether they say it or not, most everybody stands up, and we put a lot of pressure on everybody else to stand up with us. Why? Because when we open the Bible and we begin to read the word, Word of God. It is like Jesus walking into the room. And when we begin to read the Word of God, Jesus didn't show up to kiss babies and to wave at everybody. Jesus came. The same thing He did in the New Testament is the same. He came to flip tables. He came to heal. He came to deliver. He came to restore. And so anytime you understand the Word is Jesus, anytime the Word is shared, Jesus shows up. Revelation changes your life when you open your Bible on a Thursday morning. You say, well, I don't have my crew with me. You don't need a crew. When you open up your Bible at the breakfast table, Jesus excuses Himself from heaven, and He says, they're opening me up. I'm going to go sit down next to them. I'm going to sit down across from them, and we're about to have a dialogue that is going to shake them, make them, and take them to the next place that I've called them to be. That is why Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings are not good enough to rendezvous with God. That is why the 88-day challenge is going to train people and make it a habit to spend time in God's Word, whether it's opening a Bible or opening the Bible app. Anytime you open it, boom, God shows up. It's the reason that we pray like we pray. I don't know if there's a prayer I pray that doesn't have the Word of God in it. Two things that I always do when I pray. I praise God for all that He has done in my life. You are a good God, and I'm so grateful for all that You've done. God, I come before You knowing that You hear me, knowing that You've heard me in past times. And God, I just want to thank You for all that You've done, all that You're working on behind the scene. I praise Him, and then I declare His Word. You know what those two things do? It brings His presence. When you pray the Word, you pray His presence. When you praise in prayer, you praise His presence into your situation. And so when you understand that the Word of God, whether it is in study, whether it is declared, literally is the presence of Christ coming to where you are, it changes everything. Can I just encourage you? That's why we don't read one scripture and then get up and run out. Because if I'm going to do all that to get you to where I am, I'm going to need you to touch me. I'm going to need you to speak to me. I'm going to need you to talk to me about some things that perhaps I'm missing in my life. I'm going to need you to talk to me some things about some things that I've messed up in my life. God, if I'm going to get you all the way down here, we're not going to fist bump and have you go on your way and me. If I'm going to do everything I can to get you where I am, God, I'm going to give you some time to speak and to move in my life. Somebody say, Jesus is the Word. The eight can'ts that will change your life. Number one, God can't break a promise. God cannot break a promise. That is a written promise in His Word. That is a spoken promise about your child, about your future. Once God declares it, once God speaks it, you can set your calendar by it. If He said it, He's going to deliver it. He's not like Amazon. He's not like Southwest Pilots. He doesn't go on strike. He's not late. He's not throwing your package at you. God is always faithful to His promise. If He promised it, He will perform it. Author Herbert Locklear read the entire Bible from cover to cover, all 66 books, with one goal in mind. And that was to carefully search the Scripture for every promise that God made to man. At the end of his search, he found 7,147 promises from God to man. 7,147. 7,147. Why do you keep saying that? Because if you've got a problem, God's got a promise. If you've got an issue, God's got a promise. You say, well, why haven't they come to fruition in my life? You've got to read the promise, meditate on the promise, memorize the promise, declare the promise, stand on the promise, operate in faith towards the promise, and remind God every day, oh, God, you are a good God, and I remember what you said then, and I'm going through hell now. It doesn't look good now. I'm uncomfortable now, but God, I'm still standing on what you said in 2012. I'm standing on what you said in 2010. I'm standing on what you said in 1985. If he says it, 7,147 promises. Chris, God slapped me upside the head and said, Brandon, I want you to just start declaring every promise you know. I'm going to be honest with you, full transparency. Sister Gloria, I ran out of steam after about 30 or 40, and God said, you better get in the book. You better get in my word. You better get in my presence, because there's about 7,100 that you have left unturned, that you've left unclaimed. It's time, people of God, get in the presence in his word. Find every promise and declare it and call it to be so. Every once in a while, they run that commercial. There are billions of dollars set aside in the tax system that have gone unclaimed, and your name could be on the list. I checked one time, and my name was not on the list. Funny how my name is always on the list for paying taxes, but never getting any back. Promises unclaimed are not God's fault. Promises unclaimed are not God's fault. You say, how can you say that? Because Jesus took nails in his hands, a crown in his head, a spear in his side, was mocked and humiliated to give us life and life in abundance. Just because you have not received the promise of God, it is not God's fault. Double down on your faith, double down in your prayer, double down in your serving. Whatever it takes, God, those promises are mine. And I want to receive everyone, 7,147. That is 19 and a half promises every day, all year long. I could only come up with about 40 off the top of my head. That means that I've only got 2 days of promises worth. And there's another 11 months and 3.5 weeks that I am leaving untapped. Can I encourage you, believer, quit watching so much CNN and let's get in the Word of God. Let's quit binge watching Netflix and start binge reading the Word of God, getting in His presence, saying, God, I'm so thankful that you made all of these available, but let me get in every one of these and find out how they can apply to my life. To my life. Exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. There's one. You know what I love about that one? It encompasses everything. He didn't need all 7,147. Just that one encompasses everything. But he said, hey, if you like that one, there's 7,146 that are just like that. So why aren't you winning? Why aren't you living that life? You say, well, I just feel like, you know, God has saved us, and so we're just going. Listen, Mother Teresa, we appreciate that, but you're an ambassador of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you know the world we live in, but people care how you carry yourself, how you're living. It gives your voice amplification. It gives your voice influence. Your influence grows by what God has done in your life. Can I encourage you? Testify of the things that God has done. Testify of the promises that have come to pass in your life. When God gives a promise, get ready. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. He had said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? This is Moses, and Moses is asking or is making this declaration in the form of a riddle. What he's saying is, have you ever seen God fail? Have you ever seen God not do what God said he was going to do? Listen, can I tell you that I've been living, hard to say this, but as of tomorrow, 40 years, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Can I encourage you? Prayer is not begging. Prayer is taking your rightful place of authority and declaring the word of God over your life, this world, this church, your situation, and seeing God's promises come to pass. God's promises are yes and amen, the New Testament says. God is not a man that he should lie. That reminds you that he's not your homeboy. He's the God of the universe. He never sleeps, never slumbers. Let's talk about when the man of God, when the prophet was out there, and he said, I'm going to let you go first, and let's watch your God light this altar on fire. And then he begins to say things like, maybe your God took a vacation. Maybe your God is asleep. Maybe your God doesn't hear you. Maybe I don't care what they're doing. All I know is my God never takes a vacation. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. While we are sleeping, he's making a fresh batch of mercy so that when we wake up, it's fresh on our plate, sitting at the edge of our bed saying, wake up, sleepyhead. We've got land to possess. We got souls to win. We got Jesus to magnify. As long as you're magnifying your problem, you can't magnify Jesus. You can only magnify one thing at a time. And as for me in my house, and as for me in this church, we're going to magnify God. That's why you don't hear us talking about all the calamities. We know what's going on. We're praying for what's going on. But I'd rather declare the promises of God. I'd rather talk about the end time revival. I'd rather talk about the great awakening that is getting ready to happen, and I believe is already happening. Can I encourage you? The promises of God are still in effect. 7,147. God is not like us. He doesn't lie. What he said, he does. God's promises are yes and amen. That's 2 Corinthians 1:20. Here's the second thing that God cannot do. And this one to me means something because it's something that I, as a man, as a fleshly man, I'm not good at. Number two, God can't change. I'm all over the place sometimes, y'all. That's why God had me marry Pastor Mandy. Because Pastor Mandy's like Jesus. She's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I have high highs and low lows. I'm a naturally pessimistic person. You say, well, Pastor Brandon, you preach faith. Oh, you think I'm preaching to you? A lot of these Sundays, you're just in the room and I'm preaching to myself. And sometimes you got to look in the mirror and you got to preach to yourself and say, hey, self, you're all over the place, but I got good news, baby. You serve a God that never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the smart aleck in the room would say, well, but in the Old Testament, God, he opened up the earth and killed thousands of people. In the Old Testament, he gave people leprosy when they murmured and complained and gossiped. Just think if he did that today. Some of y'all would have got leprosy since you've been here. I had a great conversation with one of our great members this past Sunday, and he just had a question for me after church. And he said, he goes, you're going to find out about me. He said, I'd rather talk to you than about you. If we all live that way. Let me talk to you. Let me hear what you have to say. He goes, everybody else likes to talk to each other about it. Let me talk to you about it. So I want to encourage you. The God of the Old Testament is still the same God in the New Testament. There's only one difference. Jesus now stands in between that God and us. When God looks at me, he doesn't see a failure. He doesn't see a miserable wretch. What he sees, he looks at me through blood-colored glasses, looks at me through the prism of Jesus Christ. And the same God that was knocking people off in the Old Testament is the same God today. But thanks be to God, even though he's never changed, Jesus showed up and Jesus changed my life. I love the fact that Jesus changes our life by never changing his. Jesus changes us by never changing who he is. He's a good God all the time. And all the time, he is good. See, when you understand that, doesn't mean that every conversation I have with God is pleasant. It's just like my kids growing up, sometimes they got whippings. A lot of times they got whippings. Some of you need to do away with the timeout system. It's not working. We know you can count to three real slow. It's not helping. One, two, two and a half, two and three quarters. Then y'all run out of fractions and you're in trouble. But every conversation, every disciplinary moment, every loving, every moment I've ever had with my kids, even though it might have been painful for them to hear, feel, or endure, was to make them better. And you say, well, man, last week God was loving on me, and he was comforting me because I was going through this. But man, this week God hit me straight between the eyes and said, what are you doing? That's craziness. You say, I thought God doesn't change. No, just because he changes the method doesn't mean to. Listen, when I was whipping my kids, I was still a good father, just as if I was giving them a lollipop. Come on. When I was disciplining my kids, I was just as good of a dad as I was when I was taking them to Disney World. God never changes, but we change. And when we change, it takes God. We see him in a different light. He comes in a different way, in a different method. But I'm so thankful that with me changing all over the place, him not changing is what changes me. Singles, you need stability in your life. In hooking your wagon to somebody who is unstable. James chapter 1 says, let that man, double-minded person, not think they can receive anything from the Lord. Can I encourage you? You better make sure that you're stable. And then you better marry somebody that's stable. And if you're in business, you better get a business partner that's stable. And if you're sitting next to somebody at church, I would say you need to be sitting next to somebody that's stable. If you're doing anything with anybody in life, stability is what's needed. And the only way that happens is by a God that cannot change. COVID came. It changed the world. Didn't change God. Last November, presidents changed. God, who sits on the throne, not in White House, let me remind you, there's something greater than the Oval Office. It's the throne room. That same God, in November, men changed. God didn't change. So what do you think God was doing when all of us started acting crazy when COVID showed up? He got quiet. When all of us started losing our mind because our man got in or our man got out, and God said, hold on now. For 2,000 years, I haven't changed. For 6,000 years, I haven't changed. So why are you acting? And again, when the world acts like the world, that's what they do. But the church should not be acting like the world. The church should say, hey, it doesn't matter what's going on around me, because greater is he that is in me, the one that never changes, than he that is in the world. Why is he greater in us than the one that is in the world? Because the one that is in us never changes. So, church, if you say you have a God in you that never changes, yet you are like this, you told on yourself that God is not in you. Oh, you might be in him on Sundays, Wednesdays, and when times are perfect, but God is not looking for a perfect saint. God is looking for a saint that says, God, come hell, come high water, things can change, but my faith does not change because you don't change. My praise doesn't change. My prayers don't change. My serving doesn't change. None of that shakes me because you are the constant in my life. God doesn't change. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, God doesn't change. Hebrews 13:8, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I love the book of James, one of my favorite books in the entire Bible. James 1, verse 17, every good and perfect gift. Didn't even have this in my notes, but I just quoted James 1. I believe it's verse 8, a double-minded man or a double-minded person is unstable in all that they do. Fast forward 9 verses, and this is what God's saying through James. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God, in verse 8, is giving a warning to people that are double-minded. But in verse 17, James reminds us, if you're double-minded, you better get a God on the inside of you that never changes. Because every gift, tangible gift, spiritual gift, whatever the gift is, every good gift comes from a God who does not change. So if he says, if you're double-minded, you don't receive anything. And then he said, every good gift comes down from the Father of lights, whom there's no changing, no variableness, no shadow of turning. What does that mean? That I better check myself before I wreck myself. I better quit being double-minded. I better quit being one way on Sunday morning and another way on Monday morning. I better quit having church friends and world friends, church music and world music, church hangouts and world hangouts, church people I can text, church vocabulary, world vocabulary. I know some people I run into in the city. They don't come to church hardly at all. And when I see them with their friends, they're nervous. Because they don't trust what their friends are going to say and do around Pastor Brandon. Come hang out with me and my friends. You're going to get a lot of Jesus. You're going to get a lot of faith. You're going to get a lot of substance. You're going to get a lot of meat from God's word. I went to lunch today, and I didn't even know the Holy Ghost was moving. I went to Luby's on Broadway and 410 for the first time in like 5 years. Sat down at the table. Wait staff comes to me and says, well, gentlemen, welcome today. We're glad you're here because this is the last day this location will ever be open. I said, Shekinah glory has fallen. God, you led us here. 4 men sat down. 4 men for about an hour and a half, we talked about what God had done, where God has brought us from, how we used to be compared to who we are, why we think other men don't make the same decisions we've made. That's what real Christianity looks like. Not shouting about it on Sunday when everything's right, but when everything's wrong out there in the world, still talking about Jesus, still talking about his goodness. Why? Because I've got a God that never changes, so I can't change either. Doesn't matter what's going on. Where's your faith? Doesn't matter what they're saying. Where's your faith? My faith, my anchor holds tight. My hope is in Jesus. Sure, I have bad days where Mandy's got to thump me in the head. The Holy Ghost got to thump me in the head. But there's far fewer days than there used to be. Why? Because I've put my faith and my focus and my feet are founded in the Word of God, in the unchanging character of God, in who God is, not who God was only. He was, he is, and he always shall be. And that's the God that I serve. Pastor Becky, if you'll come. It's amazing when you read the final statements of Muhammad and Buddha, these other founders and leaders of religion. Buddha would say, I searched for truth my entire life. On his deathbed, I searched for it my entire life, and I still haven't found it. He talked about truth like it was elusive. Truth is never elusive. Because Jesus is truth, and he's available at the highest mountain peak of your life and the lowest valley you've ever been in. He is wherever you need him and wherever you call out to him, that's where he will be. But what Buddha didn't understand was that truth wasn't evasive. Buddha just changed. He's like you before Jesus and like me before the Holy Ghost.
You wake up and one text messes up your day. One news story messes up your day. One side eye from that one coworker that is a thorn in your flesh messes up your day. And it's not that God and His promises and His character and His power are elusive and far away. It's that we change so much that it seems that way. I've had people tell me all the time, Pastor, man, I can feel God on Sunday, but He seems so far on Monday. Well, my question is what changes from Sunday to Monday? I worship more during the week than I do on Sunday. I'm in the Word more in the week than I am on Sunday or Wednesday. What changes? We change. Because Jesus never changes. I love the fact that I can be all over the place and Jesus is so constant. He's a sure place. Have you ever called on somebody that you thought you knew and they let you down? Have you ever texted somebody, probably me, that it took them 3 or 4 days to text you back, and then they acted like 3 or 4 days hadn't passed? That's your boy. And you needed them in that moment, but they changed. Jesus never changes. That is why when the world goes the direction it's going, they're going to begin to look around at all the shifting sand that has passed through their life. Drugs didn't do it. She or he didn't do it. I thought this president would do it. He didn't do it. Thought if I moved jobs, that would do it. Thought if I changed who I am, that would do it. You can't change anything or enough for it to matter. What you have to do is you have to learn this second camp that God never changes. And He's waiting for you tonight. And He's saying, if you want to be changed, you got to invite the never-changing God. And because I never change, I'm going to change you. And you're going to get stability. Your faith's going to grow. Your confidence is going to grow. Stand on your feet tonight. Please, and I don't want to disparage any of our leaders, myself included, in this next statement. I believe that people can carry specific anointings, healing anointing, a prophetic anointing. I believe personally that people can have an anointing for funds and finances. I'm not even talking about preachers. I'm talking about believers. You just have that in mind, and that God can use that to fund the works of the kingdom. But can I tell you, don't fall in love with personalities. Bishop Spears, you've known me for 20 years, almost. 21 years. I've changed. I'm about 100 pounds bigger. I got more hair on my face than I do on my head. But that's not even the change I'm talking about. You've seen change in my personality. As I've matured, things have changed. And I'm hoping that most of those changes are good. But there's a lot of changes that I see leaders go through that are not good. So if we're always continually looking to them instead of Him, because we change, He does not. Popular, one of my favorite pastors, made a mistake last year. Church taken from him. Haven't heard, social media silent. I'm glad I didn't have my faith in him. Oh, I feel sorry. I'm like, man, I pray for him. But I'm like Jerry on Seinfeld. I just say, that's a shame. Pray for him and move on. Say, God, I'm glad my eyes are on you, not on them. And I say that to free you from, I have to get to Sunday, or I have to get to Wednesday, or I have to talk to so-and-so. No, 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 no. You can have that. It's icing on the cake. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Pray, pray, worship, enter in, seek in,
push through. I want to open this altar right now for people. God bless. We've already broken the ice. God's got you. He's a never-changing God. That means he's always a healer. That means he's always a healer. Amen. Here they come. Ladies are beginning to move. I need a man of God to come out and say, hey, I need to get introduced.